Emunah.
Jerry, you start next month for the Proverbs, don't you?
Start next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday. And I'm glad you gave me the opportunity, and I encourage you. If you, of course, I'd like to see everybody in that class, but encourage your friends, your family. It's going to be a different Proverbs than we've ever had. I've taught it about four times now, but I finally come to the realization that actually Proverbs is a sit-down conversation with God from beginning to end on every aspect of your life, how to handle every aspect of your life. And that's the way we're going to handle that class, on just verse by verse and situation by situation. I would also encourage those who are, and he is going to attend the class on October the 1st, which is next Saturday, read Proverbs 1. And on October 2, which is next Sunday, read Proverbs 2. We're going to continue that through the whole month. So by the end of the month, you'll read 30 of the 31 chapters in Proverbs. And we're going to go from there.
Awesome. So Jerry came to me last Sunday and asked me to fill in for class today. So I wanted to put something together that would be go along with this morning's sermon. So what I want to do is I want to give you a little encouragement this morning. So this is a class of discussion. I got this book. I don't know when I got it. It only cost me 99 cents, and it's 199 promises from God. So what I want to do this morning, because it will relate it towards the end of my sermon that we talk about later on this morning, is the promises of God that we need to focus on. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to go through here. We're going to start reading some of these verses, the promises of God. And what I want you all to do is give me some feedback. And if you have some memory verses or verses that you remember that you hold on to, bring them up this morning, because what this morning is designed to is to encourage you that there's so many promises out of Scripture that God promises us, and He never wavers from His promise. He's always there every time, and so often we get busy in life, we get caught up in our struggles and our daily living and our daily problems, we kind of forget those promises. So this morning, what I want to do is let's remember those promises and talk about them. So it'll be a group discussion as we go through these verses and talk about the different promises God made to us. So the very first one I got in the book, so we're not going to hit 199 this morning, I guarantee you that. But what it does guarantee is that we got plenty of verses to go over, so somebody keep an eye on the watch so I don't go over. You know how I am. I like to talk. All right. The very first one I got down here in this book is James chapter 5, verse 15. And it's quite fitting that we start off with this, because if you listen to Jerry's prayer this morning, it's directly from this. So James chapter 5, verse 15. Had a cold this week, so my voice will break up just a little bit. So I'll read for a little bit through these verses, and then somebody will give me a break so I don't wear out for sermon time, which might be to y'all's advantage. I've cut it short. But, huh? All right. James chapter 5, verse 15 says, "And the prayer of the faithful shall save the sick, and the Lord shall rise him up, and if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him." It promises the Lord will look out for our sick. That's the best doctor and the best thing that we can have. When people say, "The least I can do is pray for you." No, that's the greatest thing you can do for me. When I'm sick and when I'm going through what we're going through, I can't ask for anything more than that. Because that will be guiding the doctors that are taking care of me. That will be guiding the doctors to make the decisions. And there is no greater physician. So when we face illness, the Lord promises to be there for us. He promises to heal the sick. And all we have, but it takes prayer. We got to pray for those who are sick. We've got to remember those who are sick. Because he tells us he's answered prayers, which we'll probably catch on in a little bit. But he promised, that's a promise from God.
I don't think it's necessarily just meaning physical illness here either. I think it pertains to spiritual sickness as well.
Yeah, because that's probably the worst sickness that you can have. It's a spiritual sickness and struggles where you're fighting Satan, where he's telling you and discouraging you that the struggles you go through. And we're told, and that's it, I'm glad you brought that up, we're told that God will intervene, Christ will intervene if we turn to him. And that's to pray for our brothers and sisters. You look at what we've been going through over the last couple of years, and it's not just here, it's pretty much everywhere you look. The congregations have shrunk. And what is that? Is that COVID? Absolutely not. It's absolutely a spiritual warfare, which Satan is telling them to stay away, to get away. And we'll really talk about that here later on this morning, what Satan's perspective and what he's looking for out of that, that he just needs us to do. That is a spiritual illness. People will blame it on COVID. People will give all kinds of excuses, and Satan will feed you excuses. Just pass them out like candy. Here's an excuse, here's an excuse, here's an excuse. And if we take them and use them, then he's winning the battle. And that very last part says that forgive those of their sins. Very much focused on the spiritual side of sickness.
And it also relates to, like, people who are anxious or depressed. And, like, in Proverbs, speaking of Proverbs, it talks about a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. So, I know there's another one in here talking about something similar about, you know, if you're anxious or depressed or something, that, something about, you know, having dried up bones or something.
Several places in Proverbs where you can get long life.
You know, it's basically, it's not good for you. I mean, you don't have life from being anxious and depressed. And I mean, it's not good for your body. And how many times do you see people, I mean, I see it all the time in the hospital, but you see people that are so anxious and so depressed, and it adds to illness. I mean, you suffer because of that. You suffer physically because
of, sure do.
You know, your emotional or mental state of mind. I mean, it's not healthy. Yeah. You can see people that actually get sick from that.
I give you a perfect example. This last go-around when they put me through the PEP scan, they got me stuck. I got my shoulder stuck. Never had them before. And the first time I took a PEP scan, they gave me medicine to keep me calm. But I've gotten used to it. But now that it got me stuck, that was a totally different story. And so what do I do? Do I just get so anxious and nervous that I just say, forget it for today? No, I'll be honest with you. I said, no, we got to get it done. So the whole time, 45 minutes, who do you think I was talking to? And I made it through the scan. And so often we get so wrapped up in our worries and our concerns and everything goes on. God kind of gets put back here because we think it's our problem. We have to handle it. And as we'll read on here hopefully soon, is that he fights those battles for us. He'll take care of all that for us. He promises us that. We just got to turn to him. But we as feeble human beings, so often the failure is not in God. It's never in God. I can promise you that. It's never in God. It's the failure in us not utilizing God as we need to. Because he promises us so much in whatever situation that we're in that he will help us through it. The next one I have is Psalms 37, verse 40. And I like this one. In Psalms 37, verse 40 tells us this, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." No matter what situation we're in, if we will turn to the Lord, He will deliver us from the wicked. Why? Because we trust in Him. When we don't turn to Him, it's because it's a lack of trust, it's a lack of faith. But if we have faith in the Lord and trusting, He will deliver us. He promises that. All I can do is tell you, test Him. So often, we've said it before, just test the Lord. To see if you're in a situation, put Him to the test. I can tell you the 56 years I've been on earth, I've tested Him many a times in my life. And He's brought me out of every test that I've had. I look back in my life and wonder how I even got to where I've gotten today. And if you truly look at it, it's because the Lord has brought me here. I had parents that raised me up in the church. I've been blessed with that. I had a period of time, and a lot of y'all know that I wasn't a part of the church. I was away from the church. This congregation brought me back to the church. And because the Lord is always seeking for us. Even when we're lost, He's always trying to provide a path to lead us back. You think about that. Me? Somebody would turn against the Lord? Somebody who knew what was right and turned my back on Him? He's always looking for us to come home. And He leaves us so many promises to get through. While we're still in Psalms, Psalms 48, 14. "For this is God. He is our God forever and ever. And He will be our God even until death." So often we look and think about, oh, heaven. One day that's going to be our great reward. But so often we forget He's our God while we're still here on earth. He's going to protect us and look out for us and watch over us while we're here now. So we don't have to wait for those rewards. There are plenty right here if we are able to, willing to look for them. That He doesn't forsake us while we're on this earth. He doesn't say, all right, you've got to do my will, and then at the end of it, I'll come get you. That's not how it works. What's that commercial? It don't work that way. That's not how it works at all. That old Facebook where the ladies were putting the pictures up on that commercial, if y'all remember. And she says, Facebook don't work that way.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. He never leaves us or forsakes us.
No, I would disagree. I'm disagreeing with anything you said. Because we have a responsibility. But God is always there for us. That's the main thing. I just, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, He's there for us.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to some preaching this morning. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting, people pray a lot, but I believe constantly in praying for mercy.
Yes.
I pray for mercy more probably than anything, because I know I'm not perfect,
amen,
but I need that mercy, and it really helps me to be able to depend on God for His mercy. I need that. But you're right on with everything you said, and I appreciate it.
And I like your comment, because of that mercy and grace. That's one of the, it's in every one of my prayers, personal prayers, because I realized where I was at before.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be there again.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of my to put in my prayers a lot of times, is I ask the Lord, never let me fall out of Your mercy and grace. If I start to fall out of Your mercy and grace, it's time for me to go. Let me be here. If I get to that point, Lord, don't let me get to that point. It's time for me to go home. because I realize what kind of state that's going to put me in if I'm falling out of His mercy and grace,
yeah.
and He comes, and I'm not focused on the things I should be. So I'm with you, Ray. I pray for that mercy and grace.
Yes, Lord.
On my personal prayers almost every time, because I realize and understand from the little story I tell you about me when I was a kid. I don't touch stuff that is hot. You know why I don't touch it, stuff that's hot anymore? I'm really careful. Because when I was a little child, my sister, because my mom was out there, had the iron up on the ironing board. And she told me, and I was really young, she says, don't touch that. It's hot. What did I do?
Touched it.
I went and burnt my whole hand. I didn't just touch it. I wanted to know the truth. I went up there and touched that with my whole hand. And that experience never left me. Even as a little child that I was, you think I can't remember a whole lot back then, but I can remember that one. But one of the, with my Christian experience, I can remember that time that I've been falling away and where I was at. And that has never left me. And I know that I can easily go back. Because the world will have you in that state where you can easily go back. And that's what got me to realize I need that mercy and grace. It has more value in my mind because of where I was at before. There's a lot of people who are in that state and don't realize it. And I don't want to go back to that state and be so easily forget to what God has done for me. And all the promises that we're talking about this morning that He does for me. So, Ray, I'm 100% along with you on that we need that to be praying for that mercy and grace.
Yeah,
and I think that, like, every day we wake up, as cliche as it sounds, like, every day that we wake up, that's, like, grace and mercy right there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, that means that we still have a purpose in God's kingdom.
I'm glad you said that.
Even if we're walking away and God's like, all right, I'm going to still let you wake up one more day. That's like grace and mercy right there.
Yeah.
That's a very good point because, as we were just talking about, He's always looking for you to come home. Mm-hmm. So He's trying to give you as many chances before that day comes to turn around and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. So you're right. That is completely just to be able to wake up and see this for another day. Mm-hmm. There's so much mercy and grace in that. Even as Christians, your perspective, that's another day to improve. That's another day to get your life even closer to God. That's another day He's given to you, nothing but opportunities. And it's that mercy and grace that He has. All right, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8.
James
chapter 4, 7 and 8. As I get a drink, would somebody find that if they wouldn't mind reading that?
Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
That's what all we were just talking about. Now, you just turn the page. If we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And Satan cannot win a battle with you. Why is that? If you resist the devil, because the Lord's helping fight in the spiritual battles with you. If you draw near to God, He's going to draw near to you, and Satan has no power over you. The only, which we've talked about before, the only power Satan has is the power that you allow him to have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He cannot do anything without your permission. With the same perspective, neither can God. God can't do anything without your permission. So you have one or two sides to be on. You're going to be... It's pretty simple, and we make it complicated. You're on God's side, or you're on Satan's side. Maybe without even realizing it. Resist Satan, and he'll flee.
even though we don't fast all the time, he's helping us when we don't even know that he's helping us. So all the time we don't give our permission, but he's that merciful that he's, I'm going to help you anyway because you need me. You know, he's showing us you need me. Mm-hmm. But if you ask for much more, if it's his will, he's going to give it to you. You know, I can ask all day long, but it might not be his will to give it to me because it might be selfish reasons that I'm asking for something. But he helps us even when we don't ask.
Right. He knows what we need better than we do.
He knows.
Yeah.
So he's always, always there, even when we are not.
He's all there. He's always at that door.
That's right.
And it takes preparation on God's part to be at that door. He has to show up. He's literally right there where we're at, even when we're in the state that we shouldn't be in, knocking on that door. But we physically have to open that door to Him. But it takes, like you just said, it takes preparation because He's trying to show us a better way. He's trying to prepare us a way out. He might be knocking at that door when we were struggling with Satan, saying, "Oh, you got to open up the door, and here's your escape." Mm-hmm. And then I'll step in. But he's always there for us, even when we're not doing the right thing. But we still have to choose to open that door. And that's the thing. That's his unconditional love for us is there constantly. But we have to have the unconditional love towards Him as well.
Yeah.
And just like Ray was talking about earlier, we have a part that we have to play in this. The promises are there, but they're there ready and willing. But we have to accept them. Yep. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Jerry, I'm sure this is one of your favorites.
Which one is it?
Proverbs 28, verse 26.
All of my favorites. Yeah.
He who trusts his own heart is a fool, but who walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Mm-hmm. When we trust in ourselves and not in God.
Yeah.
Basically what it's saying. God says, you trust in me, I will deliver you, whatever situation that you're in, if you just trust in Him. But if we rely on our own heart and our own wisdom, we're going to get in trouble every time.
Yeah.
What Proverbs was that?
28, verse 26.
Oh, 26.
Being you trust in yourself, you are a fool. You can't be nothing else but that. Because, how many times you've done things and man, that was so stupid of me. I'm sorry, I get it. But think about when you're trusting in God, He helps guide your mind to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't fail. That's the thing I'm looking at. God, this is a great, great lesson for all of us. I'm glad you're going to be in Proverbs, because Proverbs is a very powerful book.
Awesome.
All of them are bad, all of them are tough. But this one here really hits the soul and hits the mind. Yeah, I love it.
What I like about Proverbs, and Jerry's going to hit all over it because I've been through his lessons a couple of times. If you follow all the guidance of Proverbs, you'll financially be okay. If you follow all the guidance of Proverbs, your relationships will be better. Because it gives you those wisdom type stuff that if you would follow that guidance, I promise you that he tells you some of the stuff that you talked about before, which we'll probably bring up again, so I hope I don't ruin anything, that I don't think about. It's in Proverbs. And says, well, it makes common sense. If you lend somebody money, then give them the money. Don't expect it back because you're on the expectation of it back. That's not right. Don't give up the money that you're not willing to give with a free heart.
Yeah.
That's the beauty part of it. It's all common sense. In the old days, we called it horse sense.
Horse sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It's common sense.
Yeah.
But God shows you how to derive that common sense answer or common sense solution. Mm-hmm. If we just listen to Him, five times raised that same thought right there, trusting in your own self, God repeats that in Proverbs five times because He knows we're hard headed.
Yeah.
Do not trust in your own self.
Yeah.
Do not trust in your own self.
Yeah. I tell Kim all the time because, you know, raising kids and you got Nevaeh who's getting ready to go to college and she's smart as a tack. But sometimes she don't have a whole lot of common sense on how she figures things out. I tell her, look, common sense is not very common anymore. She's not the only one with that struggle. You look at what this world has and what's going on. Common sense would tell you this, but the world's doing this. Just because it's common sense doesn't mean it's very common anymore. Yeah. But Proverbs, Jerry, you're 100% right, is one that's full of common sense guidance. And if you would just follow them, would impact your life. I wish I would have used some of those when I first got married, when I first started out. Because I think I would probably be in a whole lot better situation than I'm in now. But, you know, youth and relying on having them, trusting in my own heart back then, I created my own struggles. And I think we probably all could look at that. That we look back at our youth and we're feeling, oh, I got this. And then realize after, I ain't got this. after the stumbles and falls and struggles and financial struggles and relationships and struggles that we've had over the years, realize that if we just focus on God's Word, He has everything that we need. And I think these what these promises are for, to remind us He has everything that we possibly need and more. Somebody turn over to John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35.
Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.
That's a wonderful thing, especially in today's time and age. But not only that, what he's focusing on is the spiritual feeding.
Amen.
We think about the bread, when we say the bread of life, we're talking about eternal life. So as a Christian, you're struggling, you're hungering for the truth. He promises to feed you. You want an answer, what the right thing to do, he promises to give you the answer. He's not going to leave you hanging to figure it out on your own. You won't be thirsty and you won't be hungry when it comes to this everlasting spiritual life. But you can put it to the physical aspect of it. I look back in my years, and Jerry probably going to look back a little bit further than I can. I realize, Jerry, you're here. I mean, you've probably been hungry a few times growing up. You've probably been hungry a few times when you're growing up as a child.
Oh, yeah.
But you never starved. He always provided. Mm-hmm. And I look at when I started out and I laugh right now because Christopher married into with three kids, instant family. I kind of did that. And he's got one on the way. And I was back there in that day, and he's going, how did you make it? He's asked me a couple times, how did you raise us up? I said, and I look, me and Kim looked at our old paycheck. One paycheck wiped out the house payment. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it, we had to figure out everything else. Mm-hmm. Y'all have all been there. That's the way it was. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has always provided.
Yeah. Yeah.
All, and some of us, a lot of us are still there.
I say it's kind of like that now with raising prices on you know, everything. You might have been comfortable last year, but this year, huh?
Well, it's a perfect example.
You doing what?
I'll sleep on the couch.
Talking about feeding. Kim showed me the grocery bill from yesterday. We didn't spend that much money when I had three kids. I'm going, what in the world's going on? And I look at those who are raising three kids and stuff like that today, and or more, and the struggle that they have to go through. But I've been there. We all been there. We've been struggling to that point, but we are here today. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I absolutely believe you are because of the way things are. But I can promise you the Lord will get you through it. He will provide because he's done it for me 1,001 times, and I can't count all the times. You get real creative. Yep, and the good Lord helps you figure that one out. Yeah, so, yeah, these are promises that as Christians, no matter what state we're in, pandemic, the economy, it doesn't matter anything. We don't have anything to worry about because our Father has an unbelievable resources.
Yeah.
He has all the resources that we need, spiritually, physically, and mentally. He has everything. He promises never to forsake us. He promises to always be there when we need him. Sometimes, like we were just talking about earlier, is he's at the door, we just got to open it up. Because we forget about these promises. We forget about these. Somebody turn to, back to Psalms, and verse 22 and verse 26. Did we already read that? Did I flip over to that? Psalms 22, verse 26. No, that was Proverbs earlier. Psalms 22, verses 26.
The humble will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts do it forever.
The humble shall eat and be satisfied. It's once again, he's going to provide. He's going to provide the things that we need. And without a doubt that he's going to take care of us. And so often, when we get in our struggles and trials and tribulations, we forget about those things.
I'm glad yours says the humble because mine says the poor.
Yeah,
yes, poor. It depends on the verses. It could be poor or humble.
What verse? I mean, what book did you read? Did he read?
Oh, this is the Christian Standard Bible.
Okay.
What does yours say? Afflicted. I like the word afflicted.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
You got stuff going on.
Some when you are meek and humbled, it's because of the situation you're in. And the poor, you're afflicted. So it relates all to the same thing as the state that you're in.
Yeah.
So they're all good, but I like the one Lynette just read, inflicted. Because right now, a lot of us probably feel inflicted the way life is. Nothing out of it we can do, nothing that we can control, and that's part of the frustration is that we don't have control of what state that we're in. You can't control prices right now. You can't control your salary coming in right now. If it's retired, I'm getting ready to hit the good old retirement of come December 31st. So my income will come and drop down here because they only give you half of what you made before. But he will provide.
Yeah.
And my gold, and if it's Lord willing, Kim will not work and take care of the grandkids, and she'll retire, and I'll work a second job. So she can be there for the grandkids, because I think it's important that we have some good influences on these kids. So the Lord has a plan. I don't know what his plan is, but he already there in the future. So we don't have to worry about anything. So often we worry about, what about tomorrow? We ain't got to worry about tomorrow. Good Lord's already there. Mm-hmm. He's going to take care of it. Good Lord already has a plan for tomorrow. I don't know what that is, but I know that it's to our best, for our best, it's for our good. He's going to look out for us. He promises us that. And that's what we need to realize, no matter what we're facing, especially in today's time and age, especially what we just come through and the pandemic and the COVID. And COVID's kicking back up because it's getting closer to that fall time frame. And people are going are being afflicted with that. At work, we've got like 7 people out with COVID. And one of them's in the hospital. So, but you got to have faith in God that He'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of relates back to what we were saying about trusting the heart. Like, if you're inventing things that you need, inventing things that you want, and those aren't being fulfilled, you may feel like God's not providing, but God's going to provide things that you actually do need.
Yeah.
Especially in, like, this age of consumerism where saying, oh, you need this, you need that. I mean, God knows.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example because we're getting ready to do a good study in it. One of my things of getting out of trouble when I was younger, I would just get that credit card or get that loan. Oh, that's getting me over the hump, but now I've got to pay that 17, 18, 19, 20% interest that you never get paid off. I think, oh, I got a fix for this. If you just trust in the Lord and play a little bit smarter on how you do things, you He's got a better path for you.
Yeah.
But we got to just trust Him. So often our wants, like you're talking about, because everything you see on TV, you need this, is that consumer stuff. You need to have this. Yeah, I need that. That you don't really need.
Nowadays they talk about you deserve it.
Yes. Yes. I really don't want to get what I deserve. I really don't, because I'd be on that cross before Christ ever was if I got what I deserve. If we truly look at it and they say you deserve, you really better wish what you want. Be careful what you wish for, because if you really got what you deserve, you need to pay for your sins. And that's not a fun route to go down. So, yep. Let's see what time we got here. All right, we got a couple more. Somebody turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Or turn over there. Let me get a drink and I'll read it. For by the grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We were just talking about that. If we got what we deserve, we'd be going down a different path. This is by God's grace and by obedience that we receive this gift from God. That when judgment day comes, and we talked about that a couple months ago, what judgment day will look like. We're going to be on the right side. We're going to be up there with the angels watching the final events. We don't even have to suffer or be a part of it when that day comes. He's pulling the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we'll be called up before everything occurs. So we get to see the power of God. I don't want to be on that other side. And it's all because it's a gift, because there ain't nothing I can do to earn it. I can't get it paid off. I can't keep paying on it throughout my life and say, all right, now I can retire as a Christian. It doesn't work that way. We can never earn enough to pay for what Christ and what God has done for us. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift that God promises us that we have. An inheritance that we have. My retirement is out of this world. To be honest with you. Not the retirement I'm getting ready to do at the end of the year, but the retirement of Christianity. My retirement plan is way out of this world. I got a mansion on the other side. I says, then I can't even imagine what that's going to look like. I got no more pain, no more suffering, all that.
Absolutely.
Because usually, we've said it before, and me and Jerry talked about it, getting old is not for wimps. With old age comes all the aches and pains and suffering. But our reward at the end when we retire, there won't be any of that. Any of that we got to worry about.
My big toe won't hurt no more. No more
what?
My big toe won't hurt no more. Well,
yeah. I started a part-time job a couple months ago, and it's a safety job. I'm working in a plant. I have never walked so many stairs in my life, up and down. And you talking about feet and toes hurting at the end of the day? Oh, my goodness. Just to prepare to have something to fall back onto. I enjoy it. I get to talk to a lot of people. I get to see a lot of things I've never saw before, and I'm learning a lot of things I've never learned before. I absolutely enjoy it. But they're 10-hour days, and going up and down these flight of stairs. Go to the third floor. You realize the third floor is six stories up in these plants? It ain't, third floor sounds like nothing. Yeah, no. But I'm blessed to be able to do it. But those aches and pains, I ain't got to worry about that when that final day comes. I ain't got to worry about who's going to keep the lights on. I ain't got to worry about how I'm going to eat. All that's provided. I ain't got to worry about anything. That's a promise. That's stuff we get to look forward to. They don't get that yet. Until they commit, like we're going to talk about in a little bit, they don't get that. We get that. We're His children. It's His promise to us. And that's what we need to focus on, especially in these difficult times right now. We need to focus on these. Get a little book, 99 cents. I don't know where you get it because I don't remember where I bought it. 199 promises that we can, throughout the Bible, promises us all kinds of stuff. Because we're over time. I told you I talk too much.
I think that makes a good class a good class. Keep that handy.
I might
be able to
use it again.
Okay.
They might have that book in the Books of
Media. They might. He's next. You might be able to find it online. I don't know if you can get it for 99 cents, though.
No.
No. No, so. All right. Thank you all for your time and your input.